Whether it is a day hike where we're just gone for a few hours, or a camping trip where we're gone for a few days, anytime we hike up to the top of a mountain and take in that breathtaking view, a couple things usually happen. That first, we start to look back. We start to think about that hike and all of the many miles that brought us to that place. But not only that, our mind starts to wander and think about all of the years behind us. The joy and hardship, the effort and grace, that everything becomes quiet and still. And we think back. But second, from that, we start looking forward. We start to envision the journey ahead. We start to think about hiking back down and what happens next. That many times our goals are clearer, or we feel our prayers deeper, or we are inspired about what to do next. That's what happens on the top of a mountain. And that's what happened to Peter, James, and John when they followed Jesus up to the top of that mountain, that they looked back and they looked forward. That they looked back to the story of the Exodus, where Moses hiked up to Mount Sinai right after the people of God were liberated from Egypt, leaving years of oppression behind. But then they couldn't help but start looking forward, anticipating the wilderness that was in front of them. And they didn't know if they could survive. They faced real threats, depending on manna from heaven and water from a rock, that after leaving Egypt, it quickly went from, oh, thank goodness, to, oh, my goodness. And then Moses went up to the top of Mount Sinai. He received the law and commandments, instruction, it is called, what we refer to as the Ten Commandments. And the people were thankful. And many times we think of this instruction of God's law and commandments as restrictive, but if you are stranded in the middle of the wilderness, instruction feels more like grace. It let the people know they were not alone, that God was with them. And the story about Peter, James, and John echoes that story where they went up to the top of the mountain with Jesus, saw Moses and Elijah standing on either side of him, surrounded by this dazzling light, that they were reassured that they were not alone, that God was with them, that there would be instruction and guidance in their wilderness. And like Moses before him, Jesus was willing to enter the wilderness. He went out into the wilderness towards the River Jordan, where he was baptized by John. And then after his baptism, he wandered in the wilderness for 40 days, like those 40 years of the people facing temptation. And then he said, I am the bread of life, like manna from heaven. I am living water, like water from a rock. There were all these wilderness moments along the way throughout his ministry. So standing there on the top of that mountain, Peter, James, and John said, we need to stay here. Let's build dwelling places right over here. Let's set up camp. This is too good to leave. But Jesus gently said to them, "It is time to hike back down, to face all of the uncertainty and unknowns that are ahead." And perhaps we find ourselves in a season of wilderness that in recent years, the world and the church have been in the midst of change. There is the rise of the nuns, those who claim no religious affiliation. There are less people attending church. There has been this shift where the church is no longer centered in society. What Bill Leonard calls the sociology of Sunday, where Sunday is no longer a day protected for worship and community. And then we also see other cultural changes where the church has in many ways lost its trust in the public eye, seen largely as judgmental, anti-science, or closed-minded. And the effects of a global pandemic have contributed to those trends. And then you add to that list divisive politics, the influence of technology, and social upheaval like racism and anti-Semitism, that perhaps we are in a season of wilderness. And like the people in Exodus, we look around and wonder, did we leave Egypt for this? But we can hike up the mountain again today and look out at this view and remember that God is with us and calls us forward. That perhaps we need an Exodus church. When I was growing up, unaware of it at the time, I was given a Paul church for an Exodus world. That years later, talking with my childhood pastor, he said that he looked back on all of those years and studied all of his sermons and realized the majority of them focused on the letters of Paul. And not only that, they looked at the letters from Paul through the lens of the institution of the church, which is not awful. But there is far more in the book of Acts and in Paul's letters than concerns about the institution of the church. Paul did not set out to build the institutional church. In fact, there's a changing religious landscape around Paul. He's constantly learning and adapting, dealing with the change of the church, trying to widen its circle to include Gentiles. That the early church may have been an Exodus church. Several years ago, I was driving around Auburn, and I looked up and I saw this bumper sticker in front of me. And it said, "Not all who wander are lost." And there's a lot of wandering in the wilderness. There is no map to follow. We are depending on manna from heaven and water from a rock. And all of a sudden, as I'm driving along reading this bumper sticker, this car takes an unexpected turn. And I thought to myself, should I follow him? Does he know something that I don't? Because if you find yourself in the wilderness, it is so comforting to know that not all who wander are lost. One of those wilderness moments for the Apostle Paul is when he was shipwrecked in Acts 27. And Kenda Creasy Dean points out that every time there is a shipwreck, all the passengers cling to pieces of the wreckage to stay afloat. And perhaps that's what Paul and others did, grabbing on to pieces of the ship that had broken off, floating in the water so they could swim safely to the shores of Malta. That they were saved by what was left. And I don't mean to say that the church has completely broken apart, but perhaps it has been battered by the rocks. Because there are all these wilderness questions around us, questions about what truly matters. And what is it are we going to cling to? What is going to keep us afloat? And it's important to remember, the wreckage does not fail us. It is actually what saves us. Because there are pieces of God's forgiveness and God's calling and God's hope all around us. It is our instruction for the wilderness. And since Jesus is so accustomed to the wilderness, he can teach us about those things. That it is the ways of Jesus that lead us forward. For the same reason that Peter, James, and John thought it was a great idea to set up dwelling places and to stay on that mountain, it was the same reason that they decided to hike back down and to face the wilderness in front of them. That they were following Jesus. And on our hardest of days, when we are surrounded by wilderness questions, we keep going. Because not all who wander are lost. That is what it means to be an Exodus church. Amen.